We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Happy Father's Day to everybody. Can we put our hands together for the fathers? Excellent. I'm glad my dad's here with me. Thank you, Dad. Came all the way up from Waco. Love it. I love that. Make sure that you pull out a phone and don't text. Call. Call, all right? Call your dad. If they aren't in the room with you today, call them, all right? Spend time thinking about them. Let them know that you are thinking about them. Welcome back to the second week of our sermon series. What is the name of this sermon series? We'll try that one more time. We got this first row really participating. Good. The name of this series is God of Fun. All right. Almost feels like it needs to be like a game show name or something. Like you spin the wheel, God of Fun or something. But this is an interesting series. And you might be looking at this title going, God of Fun. Is this even like an important message? What is this, just silliness? Well, in week one, we told you that God created fun. We told you that God created every ingredient that was in pizza. Yeah. Today, I want to tell you, God created every ingredient that is in cheesecake. Do you like cheesecake? We got cheesecake coming in the room right now. How fun is that? This cheesecake is from Mama Jenny's Diner across the street. You want cheesecake, just ask for it. We got cheesecake for you, all right? Just try to save me some of it, okay? I love his church, right? They give away cheesecake. God of Fun, all right? The Creator God, the God of the Bible, the Creator God, He took a world that was empty, it was formless, and it was dark, and He created this bright, vivid world that is full of awe and wonder. Our God is fun. This Creator God then created us, mankind. We told you last week that God gave us our senses. Why did He give us these senses? To experience this amazing world. He wanted you to have fun in this world that He created. And we talked about brains. We even showed a picture of Krang from the Ninja Turtles. It was very memorable. We talked about brains and how strange and amazing those squishy, pink, fluid-filled things in your head is, the brain. The Creator God gave us the ability to create.
Yes, He did. Amen.
The Creator gave His creation the ability to create. And if you are not experiencing fun, happiness, and joy, you might be doing something wrong. You might not be living how God intended you to live. You might have a wrong perception. Can somebody say wrong perception?
Wrong perception.
We told you last week that your perception is your reality. Your perception is your reality. If you never had cheesecake before, never had a slice of cheesecake before, but someone had told you, man, cheesecake, that's gross. That would give you the perception that cheesecake is gross. Oh, good, you're following me. Then if you are offered a unbelievable slice of New York-style cheesecake, you might turn it down because you have the perception that has become a reality that it is gross, and so you will not have that piece of cheesecake. Wouldn't it be sad to let a false perception become your reality?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be sad to go on living thinking that cheesecake was gross?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We want to rescue you from that today. Have a slice of blueberry cheesecake on me. It tastes really good. We want to change your false perceptions, all right? You following me, all right? If you have the perception that cheesecake is gross, it will frame your reality that cheesecake is gross. But if you suddenly have a wonderful slice of New York Child's cheesecake, it'll change the way you think about the subject, and it'll change your reality. As Christians, can I tell you, we may have some false perceptions. and they frame our reality. We mentioned this last week. Get a load of this sentence. I told you we'd come back to it. We're not done with it yet. Look at this sentence. An unhappy Christian is living within a false reality that stems from a false perception. I wonder if you could read that with me. An unhappy Christian is living within a false reality that stems from a false perception. What is our perception, I ask you today? What is our perception of God's Word? I want you to think about what you think about when you hear the word God's Word. Let's throw this word out here. God's commandments. What is your perception of God's commandments? Let's say this word. What is your perception of God's law and His rules? Now, think about that in your head, because that is your perception. In fact, now let me ask you this question. What do you think? Would you say God's commands are heavy or light? What do you think? Now, right now, it's not about right or wrong answers. It's about your perception. Is your perception, when you hear about God's commands and God's laws and God's rules, God's Word, is His command heavy or is it light? I want you to take a moment, get a hold of what your heart feels about this subject. You watching online and Facebook Live, hey, love you, Facebook Live, podcast listeners, you listen to this too. Is His command heavy or is it light? I think if we are honest, and I love honest Christians that show up to church and they admit that they aren't perfect. Are there any honest Christians? Yeah, I'm kind of messed up. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Amen. I think if we're honest, we usually think that God's commands are heavy, right? I'm glad I'm not the only one. You may think that God's rules are hard and difficult to bear. Am I right? God's commands aren't on your list of fun things. A sermon series called God of Fun, and now you're talking about the commandments of God. Well, He's lost it. No wonder He's handing out cheesecake. He's gone crazy. When we think of the Word of God, do we tend to think of you must do this or you will surely die type verses? Is that what we think? Thou shalt? Those type scriptures? Look out, because my back of my hand is coming straight down from heaven. It's going to lay the smack down. All right. Now, there are some scriptures that warn us. Absolutely. There's some scriptures that warn us of certain death. There are absolutely scriptures in the Bible that say, don't do this or you will die. Right? But do we have the perception that that is all that the Bible has for us? There are a lot of people that have that perception. If you have that perception today, I'm so glad you're here, because we're going to talk to you about it. Is it possible that God's commands could be actually enjoyable? Is it possible that God's Word would actually bring joy, would actually bring happiness and laughter? Do you have this picture of a God who created a wonderful, exciting, and fun world, but also created a bunch of rules to make sure we never enjoy it? You have that picture of God? If you're anywhere in this ballpark of what I've just talked about, I'm going to tell you, you have walked into the right sermon today. Man, have we got a good one for you today. All right, you listen up. We need to rethink God's commands. Look at somebody, say, we need to rethink God's commands. All right, I got more questions for you. I want you to think about this. Don't say it out loud. But chronologically, that means in time, from in years, and in time, chronologically speaking, what is God's first command in Scripture? Get that in your head. What is the first command in Scripture chronologically? I'm not asking when they ask Jesus, what's the most important command? I'm not asking that. I'm asking chronologically, on the timeline, what is God's first command? Get that in your head. Do you have that in your head? Perhaps you thought of this verse. Can we pull up Genesis chapter 2, verse 17? Is this your card? Is this the verse that you thought of? Is this what you thought of when it was God's first command? Could just get some honest hands over the room. Anybody think of this verse? But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Is this the verse that you thought of? It's okay if this is the verse you thought of. It's all about your perception, right?
Right.
Is this God's command?
Yeah.
It absolutely is. Is it his first commandment? No, it's not. Let's change our perception a little bit. By my very conservative count, there are at least 20 commandments before the one you thought of in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And I'm going to say some of these and you're going to go, oh, well, duh. Yeah. How about this one? Ever heard of this one? Let there be light. That's a commandment.
Yeah.
That wasn't, Genesis 2:17 is not his first commandment. Let there be light's the first commandment. How about this? God calling the light day and the dark night. Yeah. Those are commands. You're going to call this day and you're going to call this night. That's a command. How about this one? Be fruitful and multiply. Anybody like that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be fruitful and multiply. That's a command, right?
Yeah.
In fact, my conservative count doesn't even take into account when God sees what he creates, steps back, and commands that it is good.
Yeah.
Got to take that into account. There's about 30 commandments before Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. I challenge you to look through the first two chapters of Genesis and see that God's first command is not what you think it is.
All right. That's good.
It's not, don't eat of that tree, y'all, or you'll certainly die. It's not that one. I want to tell you, I want to bring out to you that there is a false perception. There was a false perception when I asked you what's God's first commandment chronologically. You said, don't eat it or you'll die. That was it. That's what you thought. This false perception frames your reality. So you think that's everywhere in the Word. Some people think, oh, I don't want to hear God talk to me because if he does talk to me, I know the kind of stuff he's going to say. You're going to die.
Yeah, don't do it.
Oh my goodness. It paints a picture of a buzzkill God. A buzzkill God who is a lot like the grumpy old man in your neighborhood who would yell at you, you kids, stay off my lawn, don't touch that. I know your parents. That's a lot of people's picture of God. There was a lady in my street. You had this lady too, maybe? I would be riding on my Knight Rider tricycle.
Yeah.
Knight Rider. What's the name of Knight Rider? Kit. Oh, points for you back there. It's a good job. All right. And I would ride on that. I always had so much fun. But there was a lady, I swear, she stayed at her front screen door just to watch me and scowl at me. Just if I got on one blade of grass, it would be, you stay off that lawn. Like she would just wait there. Miss Tyndall, God rest your soul. All right. But we have this picture of God that he's just waiting going, oh, you did it. Mark, I saw that.
Yeah.
He's this grumpy old man God. This is not the true reality of God.
Right.
Clap your hands if you believe it. This is not the true reality of God. That doesn't mean it's not a reality. It could be your false perception that acts as your reality. We could spend the next hour talking about this question. Why? Why? Why did he say, don't eat it, lest you'll die? We could spend a whole nother sermon on top of that. Why did God command them not to eat of the tree? The short answer, I'll give you two very short answers. The short answer is that God values our free will. He values your free will. And even in the perfect garden state, he allowed Adam, Eve, and even Satan free will. Next, I'll also tell you this. Let's add that this command to not eat of the tree was actually for the benefit of Adam and Eve. We can talk about this sometime. I love to talk about this. We have an anonymous text line. If you don't know, we have an anonymous text line. Why don't you pull out your phone right now? put down this number, save it in your phone. It's 214-856-0550. I love getting anonymous questions on this thing. We get them all the time, and they are anonymous. I don't know who you are at all. Texting in. If you want to talk about this, that's a great place to go. 214-856-0550. The true reality is that God has way more "let me bless you" commands. "Let me empower you" commands. "Let me create for you and in you" commands than he does "thou shalt not" or "you will surely die" commands. If you put that on a scale, it wouldn't even be close. So we need to rethink God's commands. If you think his every command is, "oh, I'm in trouble. Oh, I thought the wrong thing, I'm in trouble." Oh, you need to rethink. If you think God's commands are heavy, check out 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Look at this, 1 John 5, 3. "In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." Now, you listen to me. This is some theological knowledge right here that'll change your life. I remember sitting as a kid in a church service, and somebody preached on this verse, and I went, "Preacher is absolutely lying right now, because God's commands are heavy, and God's commands are hard." And it just made me go, "How can this be true, and the way I'm living be like this?" My first instinct was, that was wrong. But the truth was, how I was living was wrong. My religious attitude was wrong. The legalism in my church was wrong. The Word of God is true. Amen, amen, amen. It says his commands are not, somebody say that word, burdensome. You get this picture of a burden. You get this picture of something heavy. Like when Pastor Chris had some friends from this church move his piano. Oh, thank you guys. I still owe you pizza. All right. It says his commands are not like a piano. His commands are not burdensome. His commands are actually a part of his loving relationship. How does this verse start? "In fact, this is love for God, his commands." To keep his command. What is love for God? His commands. So his commands aren't throwing heavy burdens on you. His commands are an invitation into a loving relationship with the Father. Rethink his commands. You want a loving relationship with God? Do this, he says. It's his commands. Not, "I'm going to hit you with this thing." But I'm offering you a way to have a relationship with me. His commands don't come from a ego power trip. They come from a loving invitation. Jesus invites us himself in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you," somebody say it, "rest." Jesus will give you what? He'll give you rest. If you are carrying around this heavy burden that you don't think you can carry any longer, he wants to give you rest. If you've been going to church and you feel so guilty and you feel like you can't even be yourself in your church because somebody might figure out the truth about, my God, give it a rest. God wants to give you a rest. If your perception is that God will give you more heavy commands, then you need to look again. He wants to give you rest. That's what he wants to give you today. He wants to give you rest. Verse 29, the next verse, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." I am what? I am gentle. Just hold the phone. Do you serve a gentle God? Yes. Is that your picture of him? He's a gentle God. What next? "And humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Some of you are miserable, and you've been trying thing after thing. You've been trying a different diet. You've been trying different medication. You've been trying different habits. Can I just suggest to you that you try some rest for your soul? Who gives us rest for our soul? It's not me. It's Jesus. Jesus wants to give you rest for your soul. Moving on, verse 30. For my yoke is
easy.
Oh, come on now. Has anybody used the word easy to describe God? Jesus did. For my yoke is easy. I don't know about you, but for way too long in my Christian life, I lived with the understanding that God was hard, that God was difficult, and the Word of God was this heavy rock above me. He says, my yoke is easy. Finish the sentence with me. And my burden is light. His yoke is easy. Do you like it when things are easy? Oh, yeah. Easy like Sunday morning. Amen. High five, Lionel Richie. All right. Pause. Do you have the perception that the truth of Jesus is easy? Do you believe that the burden Jesus places on you is a light burden? And does this truth kind of counteract with maybe how you've been living and how you've been thinking? Allow this to change your perception. If it changes your perception, it will change your reality. We need to rethink God's commands. If we could just change our perception, change the perception we have of this God of fun, man, what would that change? He's a God of creation. He's a God of blessing. He's a God of protection. He's a God of rest, light, and easy burdens. If we would change our perception, we would change our reality, and we'd start experiencing the easy, light, fun things of God. So you want to talk about God's commands, right? How about this one? God commands fun. Did you know that was in there? Did you know that was coming? Let me just totally flip your lid here. God commands fun. You want, oh, God's commands are so heavy. Oh, let me pull this one down for you. God commands you to go have a party. How about that one? God commands you to go have a good time. That's what he does. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. This is God saying, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees. Listen up, slaves. Guys who used to be slaves, I got some decrees for you. All right, sir, what is it, sir? Verse 13, next verse, celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate the festival, the party of the tabernacles. God was talking to people who had been slaves. They have been treated cruelly, enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. So God gave them a command to party. Listen, he needed to give them this law because they didn't know how to do it. They were his slaves. Listen, y'all don't act like slaves anymore. Why don't y'all get together and have some music? Why don't you get together and share a meal? Why don't we get some good drink together and have a good time? It's my decree. Oh my goodness. So God gives them this command to party. God commands you to party. He commands you to celebrate and have a good time. Come on. Cool and the gang. All right. You think God's commands are not fun? He commands his people to have fun. Israel to this day celebrates these festivals. These parties are not small occasions. These parties last for days. On and on. Through the morning, through the night, through the morning, through the night. Like 7 days, the celebration of the festival of tabernacles goes on. That's what God commands. Verse 14, be joyful at your festival. Don't you dare show up to this party and go, well, God says we have to throw a party. His laws are so unfair. No, be joyful at your festival. Get a load of this. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites, the foreigners, wow, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns, be joyful at your festival. Wait a second. You mean foreigners? You mean actually God not doesn't just you want to have a party, doesn't just want you to have a party. He wants you to bring others to the party. He wants to bring your family to the party. Point this out. Levites, that's like ministry right there. Ministers should not be stick in the muds that walk around going, I'm sorry, I can't have fun. I only wear suits. I went to Wet n Wild the other day. I wore my suit. No, because I'm a preacher of the gospel. No, no, Levites party. Foreigners, the people that don't know God yet, you should be inviting them to the party. I cannot tell you. Oh, clap for that. Go ahead.
I just don't know why people don't want to be a Christian.
Doesn't work. God is so good. He is everything to me. He feeds me. He clothes me. He gives me water. He's my shelter. He gives me joy. He gives me happiness. That attracts a crowd. Debbie Downer never has parties. Debbie Downer Christians don't have revival. Debbie Downer Christians never win somebody to Jesus. But a dancing David turns Israel on its head. A rejoicing church wins an entire city. Come on, somebody. God commands fun. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap and stand up and rejoice over that? Go on. Yeah. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Invite the fatherless and the widows. That means people that don't have much to offer you. Don't just have parties and invite people that are well-to-do and you might get something from. Bottom line is this. Christians, we need to learn how to party. We need to learn how to have a party. We need joyful celebration. We need to invite everyone. You, your sons, your daughters, your co-workers, the people that you lead in life, the fatherless, the Levites, the foreigners, the widows. Invite everybody and party down. God commands fun. A common perception is that Christians don't go to parties. Christians don't dance. I'm from Waco, Texas. There was a huge deal in the 90s, I want to say. Baylor had its first dance. It was a Christian university. Cool, we don't dance. It was like, oh my goodness. They've only had one dance ever. It was in the 90s. But there's this perception, Christians don't dance. Obviously, we haven't read the Bible. All right, Christians don't drink anything stronger than grape juice. Christians aren't found at rock concerts. Christian kids can't play dress up like at Halloween. Christians are stiff, unfun people to be around, just like God intended. That's perception, and it's false. It's false. We have a perception that you can't do nothing. What can you do? Well, is it fun? Yeah, it's fun. You can't do that. Don't do that. That's somewhere in Leviticus. No. Perhaps we have a false perception. I'll remind you, an unhappy Christian is living from a false reality that stems from a false perception. God is not anti-fun. Remember, He commands fun. Here's some verses that command fun. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice. Always. Oh, yeah. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. How about this one? Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Are we as Christians making time for weeping but not laughing? Are we as Christians making time for mourning but not dancing? Sure, there's a time for sadness, but the Bible tells us very clearly, there's a time for laughter and dancing. You're making time for it. Look at somebody, say, the spirit of fun. Now, this phrase is found nowhere in Scripture. Well, didn't you do the spirit of peace a few weeks ago? Yeah, this passage is not found in Scripture, but I want to tell you that the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of fun.
That's right.
God's Spirit brings about some fun things. Check out what the Spirit does. Isaiah 61:1, this verse is quoted by Jesus. He reads this verse out of the Bible and says that He has fulfilled it. Let's look at it. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners. God's Spirit brings good news. And it binds up those with broken hearts. Is that what it says? God's Spirit proclaims freedom.
Amen.
You ever see people set free? I remember when Saddam Hussein was captured, all of Iraq was partying down. They were tearing down statues and dancing on the statues. The person that had control over us and abused us is no more. When you proclaim freedom, there's an automatic party. No one has to tell you to party. Did you know that the Lord has set you free? He has set you free. When you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, He did. You don't have to walk around for 7 straight days with a frown on your face so you feel sorry enough about what you've done. No, He wants you to be free and full of joy at that very moment that He set you free. He proclaims freedom to those who are captive and releases prisoners from darkness. Isaiah 61:3, look at this. And provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them, who? Those that grieve. He's going to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Ashes are things that used to be alive. Some people, all they have is ashes of what used to be, dreams that used to be, relationships that used to be, potential impossibility, the person they used to, they just have ashes. Oh, Jesus comes up and says, I'll take those. And He gives you a crown of beauty instead. What else does He give? The oil of, somebody say, joy instead of mourning. All your tears and all your mourning, all your grief over the past, He comes up and says, I'll take that. Let me give you this. And He gives you oil of joy. Come on, Bible scholars, oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of joy is yours instead of mourning. And then He gives you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You have a spirit of despair today? Jesus says, I'll take that. Let me give you some new clothes to wear. Let me give you a garment of praise. God's Spirit brings provision to those who grieve. And He will exchange all your sadness and bring you joy. He will exchange all your anger and bring you love. He will exchange all your fear. He will give you happiness and a future. That's what He does. When you experience God's Spirit, you will experience some amazing fun. Now let me be clear. God's Spirit will also bring you conviction. Yeah, it can convict you of your sin, and it will bring you to tears. Oh yeah, well, I have been there. It will bring you to the revelation that you have done wrong and that you need to repent. God's Spirit will do it. Oh yeah, it will. And I realize that you might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound like much fun. right? I repented of my sins because I was really sorry for them and I felt terrible about. All right, stick with me. It can be rough, but having incorrect perceptions confronted is always a challenge. And if you allow the Spirit to bring change to your life, that's when the fun really starts. It's after you repent. It's after you turn away from your no future sin. You know, sin has no future for you. When you turn away from that and turn towards God, Maddie, that's when the fun starts. When you say yes to God and no to sin, that's when the fun starts. When you confess that you're a sinner and then you realize you are loved in spite of being a sinner, that's when the fun starts. When you are facing a dead end, but you turn around to life, abundant life, full of peace and full of joy and full of Jesus, oh man, that's when the fun starts. The Spirit of God can change your reality. We're going to hit this really quick, so you pay close attention. The Spirit can empower you. Power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Does that sound like fun? The Spirit will lead you into all truth. I tell you what's not fun is being lied to. What's really fun is knowing the truth and not falling for somebody's trick. John chapter 16, verse 13. The Spirit will give you a fresh start, also known as being born again. John 3 and 5. The Spirit, it sets you free. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. The Spirit makes you a child of God, a child of the King. Romans 8, 15. The Spirit will gift you with supernatural abilities known as gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. The Spirit will spread love straight from your heart to everyone around you. Romans 5, 5. The Spirit draws you to God. No one even comes to the Father except the Spirit draw them. John 6, 44. The Spirit will give you words to say. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know where to go. The Spirit will take care of all of that with no planning sessions in the moment, because that's just how awesome the Spirit is. Luke 12 and 12. The Spirit brings fruit in your life. It brings love. It brings joy. It brings peace. It brings forbearance. It brings kindness. It brings goodness. It brings faith. It brings gentleness. It brings self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit saves 3,000 people in a moment. 3,000 people in a moment. Two chapters later, it saves 5,000 people. In Acts chapter 8, an entire city gets saved. What did it? The Spirit did it. Does that sound like fun? What if your entire family got saved? What if your entire neighborhood got saved? What if every coworker got saved? It can happen by the Spirit, and I think that sounds like a blast. The Spirit reached hopeless cases like Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, they had no hope of being saved, but while they were hearing about Jesus Christ, the Spirit fell on them. In Acts chapter 10, the Spirit brought sight to Saul in Acts chapter 9. But do you remember all the bad things Saul did? He killed people. He was holding coats while they killed Stephen. Oh, the Spirit comes and scales fall from his eyes, and he becomes a new creature. He becomes born again. That Spirit then sends Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 8, the Spirit beams up Philip. Like, beam me up, Scotty from Star Trek. He is out there ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch, and then suddenly God translates him. He goes from bloop to bloop. The Spirit did that. What are you talking about? You would be flipping out if that happened. The Spirit does fun things just like that. The Spirit moved on the apostles when they preached. In fact, the Word of God that you have in your hand, that's called a Bible, it is the Spirit that moved on men of old to write down the truth. the Spirit, it did miracles. The Spirit caused the shadow of Peter to heal the sick. And so while Peter's just walking down the street, they lined up sick people and his shadow passed over him. And because of the Spirit, everybody was healed. That's in Acts chapter 5. We could go on and on and on and on, but let's cut to the chase. The Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you have that same Spirit, you too will be raised to a new life. Hallelujah. Acts, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit will change everything. You want to change your perception? You want to change your reality? Get a dose of the Holy Ghost. Use that in a rap, son. Go ahead. All right. If you're trying to live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit, you're probably unhappy. Can I tell you, the most miserable I've ever been in ministry is when I tried to minister without the Holy Spirit. The most miserable you'll ever be trying to do work for God is try to do it without God. The most miserable you'll ever be trying to be a dad, fathers, or moms, is when you're trying to do it without the Spirit. Do it with the Spirit. You'll have joy, unspeakable joy. If you're trying to live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit, you are probably unhappy. So gut check time, are you unhappy? When you surrender to the Spirit, that's when you have joy. That's when you have happiness. When you surrender in worship to the Spirit, and you stop worrying about what other people are doing around, that's when you instantly feel better. Amen. When you hear the Word of God and you just surrender to the Spirit in that moment, say, yeah, I'm going to do that. Even if it's crazy, I'm going to do that because that's the Word of God. When you come and pray and you surrender and you bow your knees and you start talking to God, you walk away from that altar feeling better. Why is it? Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of joy, happiness, laughter, and fun. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. The Spirit is a blast. Do you have the Spirit? Don't you dare be afraid of the Spirit. No. Don't you say, oh no, I'm nervous about the Spirit. No, come on. Join the party, y'all. Join the party. So let's review. We need to rethink God's commandments. If you got wrong perception about God's commandments, if you think God is not a cool God to hang out with, you need to rethink His commands. And then God commands fun. God commands you to celebrate with joy. God commands you to throw parties. And then the Spirit of fun. God's Spirit is fun. Being used of God is absolutely fun. Hearing from God is absolutely fun. If you ever got a hold of that, man, that is greater than any drug out there. That is greater than any worldly fun you'll ever hear about. The Spirit of God will change your reality. You always feel joy in His Spirit. You always are blown away when God uses you by His Spirit. You always feel relieved when God's truth comes to you by His Spirit. You need to get a dose of the Holy Ghost. It's fun, y'all. It's fun. It's fun. So as I'm drawing to a close, we're about to be opening up these altars. You feel it. You sense it. Do you want God's Spirit to fill your life? If God's Spirit has never filled you, where do you think you ought to come today? You ought to come in the first 2 feet and you ought to say, I want God's Spirit to fill my life. You watching on podcasts and Facebook Live, I want you to ask God to fill you with His Spirit. He can do it right where you are. Last thing I'm going to tell you as you come, and these altars are already open, repent. Turn around of the false perception that God's commands are heavy and they are burdensome. He says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Will you repent of that today? Will you turn around? Father, I repent of it. I turn away from it, Lord. God, Your love is everything I need. And Your law is light and it is easy. God, Lord, put a new perception in my heart. Lord, give a new reality to us today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would be filled with your Spirit. Lord, anyone in this house that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, God, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would fill them, God, with your Spirit, that they would feel the joy that comes from you, that they would understand, Lord, in greater ways, Lord, that how much fun you are and how much happiness there is in you and how much laughter there is to be had when you are a child of God. Lord, we turn away from our false perceptions. We turn away from our false reality and we look to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, Redemption Church. Let's talk to God all over this house. He is in this.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.